Up next, we talk with Dr. Martha Simmons, co-editor of the African American Anthology of Sermons, African American Sermons. She has over 30 years of ministry experience and is an expert in homiletics. Her book gives an overview of African American ministers and their involvement in the civil rights movement over time. Hello, Dr. Simmons.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us here on WOOC. I gave our listeners a brief overview of your body of work. For our listeners, can you tell us a little bit more about your experience, your accomplishments? We know you're very accomplished, but can you just share with our visitors a little bit about yourself?
For about 13 years, I served as president of the only African-American preaching journal in history, mm-hmm. called the African-American Pulpit. And following that, published a book called Preaching on the Brink, as well as a book of sermons after the events of 9/11, and then moved to create the only African-American lectionary in history,
mm-hmm.
And a lectionary features a group of scriptures and corresponding sermons, and in our case, I made it African-American, so I added history and music to it, and that's still online. There are about 220,000 pages, although I stopped adding to it in 2015. About 1 million people referenced it last year anyway.
Wow.
And right after that, I did Preaching with Sacred Fire, which you referenced, which is a Norton anthology of African-American sermons from 1750 to the present, or about 2012. And that's a 960-page anthology, and it is the only anthology of African-American preaching in history,
mm-hmm.
and my most recent publication is about 8 months old, and it is a minister's manual, which is a book of rituals, how you do funerals, weddings, baptism, and it's the first manual that was done for African-Americans in 56 years.
Wow.
That's a bit about me.
So, are you currently teaching right now?
I am teaching at Mercer School of Theology in Atlanta.
And that's a graduate program that you're teaching?
I'm teaching the Masters of Divinity students. I teach the foundational preaching course.
Excellent, excellent. Well, tell our listeners, what exactly is an anthology? What is an anthology?
An anthology is a collection of works over time. They cover a time frame. It's usually anywhere from 50 to 100 years. I've seen some anthologies that span a 200-year period. Ours went from 1750 to 2011, but it's basically a collection of materials. There's a Jewish anthology. There is the Norton Anthology of American Literature. There are all kinds of Norton anthologies, but there had never been one on African American preaching.
Mm-hmm.
So there are about 100 sermons.
Okay.
There are some articles, and there's also a list of about 150 preachers whose materials we could not include for one reason or another, but we wanted people to be aware of them.
Mm-hmm. So as I understand, in Preaching with Sacred Fire, you put uplifting preaching alongside Black nationalism. Can you talk about the idea of the minister as a political leader?
Yes, we featured a variety of preaching, not just Christian preaching. We featured Louis Farrakhan. We featured just a variety of preachers, because what we knew And, of course, the research also showed that the best of African-American preaching has always dealt with issues pertinent to African-American people, whether it was slavery, civil rights, women's rights, poverty, education, criminal justice. So we had to give attention to those kinds of issues because those are our issues. That's our history. So you see sermons in the book by Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
You see sermons by preachers who could have been killed for just preaching and having their sermons written down by white folk. We open the book with the great-great-grandfather of Benjamin Chavis, who was a former president of the NAACP, and his great-great-grandfather, John Chavis, is in the book. And there are just so many others who wrote. Richard Allen, who formed the African Methodist Episcopal Church. We featured one of his sermons. And there are just so many others. Maria Stewart, who did the famous Why Sit Ye Here and Die. Sojourner Truth, who many of us know from Ain't I a Woman, was also a preacher.
That's one of my favorite, Ain't I a Woman. I love that. I mean, that's just been...
Yes, and so we featured that in the anthology as well. And as I said, James Weldon Johnson, who wrote Lift Every Voice and Sing, was also a preacher. And we featured his sermon called The Creation.
Mm.
So there were just so many.
Which
wonderful.
Doctor, can you tell me, which is your favorite? I mean, I guess it's probably a loaded question.
Oh, my God.
Maybe your favorite in a period of time. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's so hard. There are just so many that I loved. I love Maria Stewart's Why Sit Ye Here and Die.
Hmm.
I loved Sojourner Truth. I loved Zora Neale Hurston.
Mm-hmm.
Published a sermon by a preacher. She wanted people to understand the genius of folk preaching. So she published a sermon by a gentleman who could barely read and write. That is one of the most wonderful pieces of literature you'll ever read, called The Wounds of Jesus.
Mm.
Then there's Vernon Johns, who was he was pastor the same Dexter Avenue before Dr. Martin Luther King was there. And he did the very famous Transfigured moment. There are just so many.
Doctor, oftentimes people talk about black sermons and black preachers when they preach, that a lot of times their sermons are very emotional and are crafted in such a way to get people whipped up emotionally. But I've heard people say that even though the sermons are very emotional, they lack any real theological doctrinal foundation. It's not really doctrinally sound. What do you think of that?
Well, it's just, it's the continuing lie, historic lie that's been told about African Americans, period. We are not supposed to be individuals of great intellect. So certainly our preaching would not be, but I would dare anyone to read any of the 100 sermons in this anthology and not see the amazing theology and the intellect of the preachers, from even those without any degrees. The sermons are theologically thick. And then we feature just some of the just giants in theology. Katie Cannon, who sermoned Prophet for a New Day, who has a PhD. Peter Gomes, the late Peter Gomes from Harvard.
Yes.
Is featured. Bishop Barbara Harris is featured. So, the that it's just one of those lies that's out there. And I don't tend to give too much attention to that because I have the evidence that says, okay, just one more lie being told about black folk. Those who choose to believe that simply have not looked to see the evidence to the contrary.
You know, one of my favorite experiences of being in any African American church is something called hooping, W-H-O-O-P-I-N-G. Sometimes they leave the G off and just call it hooping. But it's a preaching style that's very unique to African Americans. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Hooping is basically tonality for those who are just trying to figure it out. It's melody, and it's a particular type of melody, and you can identify it because its pitches, the musical pitches, are logically connected, and they have prescribed or punctuated rhythms, and these rhythms require that the voice modulate in certain ways, and usually the modulations are delineated by quasi-metrical phrasing. But essentially, it's melody. Charles Adams, who they call the Harvard Hooper, he talked about it being that thin line between singing and preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Hooping, I believe, came from Africa.
Yes.
And was brought with those who were enslaved here in America and has continued. It is not as prevalent as it was in the 1700s, 1900s, but it is still dearly loved in the African American community. I just finished 8 days of teaching in a Doctor of Ministry course at Memphis Theological Seminary. And in the class were three amazing hoopers.
You know, I always think of hoopers as sort of like, you know, hip hop artists from a pulpit perspective, you know, that, you know, if you're going to be a good poetic person, if you're in hip hop, your rhymes have to rhyme and there has to be a cadence to what you do. And it has to it has to have a hook to it or people get lost in what you're saying.
That's correct. You perfectly understand it. You perfectly understand it. And a part of that is what has hooked black people on it over the years, and it is something that I dearly love and have studied, and an entire article on hooping is featured in the anthology, and I go into the styles and the roots of hooping and talk about the changes that have occurred in it. If some people argue if it's learned or are you born to do it, and I think it's a bit of both. It has sometimes, and it's still sometimes viewed negatively because it's so powerful. Even if you aren't saying much, people can get caught up in it just because it's so powerful, and people are amazed that people can do this with their voices. Aretha Franklin's father is one of the best-known hoopers in African-American history in this country.
Yes.
And it's just very powerful. And as I said, still dearly loved in the African-American faith community, or at least in large pockets of it.
Reverend Simmons, thank you for joining us tonight on the air on our low-power FM station, WOC 105.3 in Troy, New York, upstate New York. Now,
my pleasure.
A few of the sermons talk about the work that was done in upstate New York in 1827 and 1853 with Frederick Douglass's speech in Rochester, New York. Can you talk about some of the work that was done in upstate New York and the call for Independence Day to move to July 5th?
That's a very specific one. Let me move. Let me see if I can find that one. Frederick Douglass, in his speech, or some called it a sermon, because even as he was speaking, he was often preaching, which made him such a great orator. And he produced the very famous piece that is still used in rhetoric and other classes, titled "What to the Slave is the 4th of July."
Yes.
And
yes.
He did it in 1852.
Yes. Yeah.
And he was basically trying to help black preachers understand the evils of slavery even during that time. And the speech or sermon, it's a bit of both, was his whole notion of helping people just understand what the date was about, what had happened in this country, and whether or not black people really even needed to honor the 4th of July, since they were not yet honored by this country.
Dr. Simmons, we thank you so much for being on the air with you. We could talk to you for an hour. Congratulations on your anthology. Thank you for joining
us.
And we wish you well in your work at the seminary. And good luck with the rest of the year. And God bless you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All righty.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.